Hey, what's up? I'm Gautam Sharma. You're listening to the Access Cyber Podcast. Today on the show, my guest is Tyrone E. Wilson. Tyrone is a veteran of the United States Army and a cybersecurity entrepreneur. Here we go. All right, so Tyrone, you're the CEO and founder of Cover 6 Solutions. Walk us through what that journey has been like.
Okay, wow. So the journey has been amazing. I wouldn't say it was easy, but I wouldn't want it to be easy. I've actually enjoyed the relationships, the people, everything. It's been a learning experience, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. I joined the military right out of high school and was thrown into IT immediately. I joined as a communications specialist. So I had an idea that I wanted to do something technical, and my units at the time, 1995, 1996, as you can imagine, the technology wasn't all there yet. And the Windows 95 machine operating system started coming out, and our commo shop in the military essentially turned into a help desk. And that's when I started loving technology, seeing what the possibilities are. But I know I still had to do a total of 4 years for my first Army contract, and then another 4 years as a reservist to do my full, to do the full 8 that I signed up for. So after the very first 4 years, I had to go and still do an additional 4 years of reserve time. I applied to be a help desk supervisor at a law firm in Massachusetts. Didn't think I was going to get the job, but I applied for it anyway. Kind of find out 4 out of the 5 people that interviewed me were former military. So I ended up getting the job. I think I was 22 or 23 years old, running a help desk at a law firm. Loved it, loved it, loved it. Still had to do 4 years of reserve time. And come to find out, my reserve unit was an unconventional type unit. It's what we call an IOC, or Information Operations Center. So it's the Northeast Information Operations Center in Fort Devens, Massachusetts. I do not think it's there anymore. But going to that unit was different than my previous units because they issued me a laptop and some software and some instructions on how to use virtualization instead of issuing me a weapon. And seeing all of that and learning how to, quote unquote, watch myself hack myself. I just fell in love with it and never looked back. Well, this unit still had, you know, its mission, and its mission was to deploy to Iraq. But the mission in Iraq was to be in charge of all of the network intrusions for Iraq. And that was called RCERT-SWA, the Regional Computer Emergency Response Team for Southwest Asia. But before being deployed, I believe we had maybe 3 to 4 months of pre-deployment training. And in this pre-deployment training, I learned about intrusion detection systems. I learned about incident handling, incident response. And I just fell in love with it even more and wanted to keep going. So one deployment down, come back from deployment. I'm still working in the same unit. But I'm here. It was just extended, but I'm just, you know, not overseas anymore. And I applied for a civilian job. And this is, a really cool story on how I stress relationships and being nice to people. I actually got that job because one of the hiring managers knew who I was from working in the military as a green suitor, what they call it. And, you know, he offered me the job, particularly because he was familiar with who I was. And I was, you know, normally nice to him. So I ended up getting that job, and it ended up being at JTF-GNO, which is now US Cybercom. So now I'm transitioning from being in charge of all of the network intrusions for Iraq to all of the network intrusions for the Army, to all of the network intrusions for Department of Defense, because that's what JTF-GNO's mission was, or US Cybercom now. While there, and working with all of the great people there. While there, I started to notice that, individuals needed help because they were consistently making the same mistakes over and over and over again, making our jobs harder. And that's when I had an idea to start educating the masses. Moving forward, I'm still working at, these additional positions, doing some side work for the FBI on the weekends, doing the same exact thing, and then joining a civilian company who was creating their own custom IPv6 firewall. Fell in love with that. And yes, I'm an IPv6 enthusiast. Fell in love with that. And I started a meetup group called the DC Cybersecurity Professionals because I wanted to practice sales engineering for the IPv6 firewall. I felt like we were talking about it for years, IPv6 that is, and no one was listening. So I decided to change topics and just focus on all things cyber for the meetup group. The popularity grew, so we started to have 2 meetups a month, and then the meetup group exploded. We are now at 7,500 members, over 7,500 members. We are the largest cybersecurity meetup group in the country, and that has become my passion.
Amazing. So
the meetup group gave me the confidence eventually to start a company because I was getting asked to assist with projects. The projects got bigger and bigger. So now I'm consulting and providing training based off of what I was providing in the meetup group. And that's how Cover 6 Solutions started. Cover 6 is a nod to my time in the military and a nod to my love for IPv6. So that I know that's a little long-winded, but that, trust me, that's the short version.
That is one hell of a journey. I appreciate you sharing that, and thank you for your service, by the way.
You're very welcome.
What are qualities that veterans bring to the table in the security space?
Oh, wow. So being able to handle stress, being able to multitask, being able to deal with multiple personalities, working with people that are from all over the world, all over the country, really helps you stay grounded. It provides you the ability to, just be open and be inviting to people. And that really helps, especially in an industry where it may not seem that everyone is invited, right? There's a lot of gatekeepers out there. I really try not to be that way. And I feel like the military just set a great foundation for, what would be important to me in my life and what my focus should be.
One of the things that you see on vendors will advertise every so often, it's gotten better, but we'll see it all the time. It'll be the term military grade. What comes to mind when you think of that? Military grade encryption, for example.
For the most part, I think it's just a buzzword to try to draw in customers. There are some things that occur on the military side, like when it comes to encryption and things of that nature. But I feel like if you have to mention it, then maybe your product doesn't stand on its own. And I'm not trying to say anything negative about any products out there that may use military grade. But, that's normally what I think.
Yeah, I wanted to get your thoughts on that just because it's popped up so often, and it pops up still. You'll see it in advertising, and I always get mixed reactions on that. I mean, no one seems to be a fan of that use of that term, but when you think about military tech, right, it's some people will agree that the military is further advanced, and some people will say, if you only knew, right?
Right.
Where do you stand on that?
Well, I'm 24 years Army, so I've seen the tech.
Right.
That's being used, and I've been the training NCO IC, so I have seen both sides. So if people are believing that the military grade is a step up, then I'll agree with that. You know, I'll
Sure.
support my veterans.
There you go. There we go. I like it. I like that. So you mentioned early on in your career, right? There was a couple of different units you were part of, from a comms unit and then more IT focused. What was the these weren't called cybersecurity units, right, back then.
No.
They were different joint task forces. What does cybersecurity mean to you? I mean, seeing just the whole journey of the evolution of the term even, what does that mean to you?
Wow. So to me, cybersecurity is a realm or a focus to where you are ensuring the security of any device that can communicate with another device or anything that has the ability to provide information to anything else, right? You want to try to ensure that those communications are in a secure state and that data that's being transmitted is secure in transit and secure at rest. And, there's a lot of things that go into that. It's not just hacking and defending, right? There's building applications, it's building websites, right? There's secure coding. But there's a lot of things that are a part of that cybersecurity realm.
Definitely agree with that. We hear all the time there's X million openings in cybersecurity. What do you think? What is there? Is the sort of deficit of security professionals as great as we think? And then, what are if so, what are some of the issues around that?
I'll try my best to explain that. With the Meetup group, I have the ability to see individuals that are in different stages of their journeys, right? And some of them, express their concern about how difficult it is to get into the industry. And people that are already in the industry may not see that. But I feel like, especially in this area, with the amount of contracts that are being awarded, those, hiring managers are looking for the best individuals that they can find to fill those positions. And what I'm noticing is they have a certain vision. So it's two things, it's two visions. They have a certain vision for the skills that person has. And then, in my opinion, I believe they have a certain vision for what that person may look like and act like. And I believe that is a key to one of the issues. Another key is what they're asking for, right? Of course, they would want to try to maximize, what is in the job req to try to get the best person available. And the individuals that are a part of their vetting process, there's a disconnect there. Right? The recruiters are not spun up on tech and what an individual's how do I explain it? Passion would be. They seem to struggle vetting a person's passion. And I work with people that are more than qualified technically, but not qualified at all on paper. Right? And what's happening is people are starting to get the skills that the companies want and not getting the skills that they need. And over time, that it will end up translating into a person that's unfit for that position, although they meet all of the skills on paper. So basically, what I'm trying to say is that in the job req, in the job description, a company will say, this person needs to have this, 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 and that. This certification, this skill set, this, this, and that. So the person will do what they can as fast as they can to meet those requirements without truly understanding that there's a lot more that comes with it. There's a lot of foundational knowledge that I feel you should have that a lot of people just aren't getting and just aren't focusing on. And without that foundational knowledge, right, everything else will crumble eventually unless you stick with it.
What does that foundation look like, right, in your mind, across, this might be difficult, but across most roles in cyber, what is a good foundation you want to have before you decide in a specialty, number one? Second follow-up is, how does a job seeker pitch themselves in a way that employers and hiring managers are going to be receptive to?
Few things. One is like knowing that, the basics of networking, the basics of IP, knowing, the common ports and services, how that works, and how attackers would, attack those common ports and services, and basically learning the basic foundational mitigation and incident handling strategies. What a company can do to help pitch that is to show that they have a very inviting environment and actually show that they are providing individuals a chance that may not, man, this is going to come out wrong, that may not fit what they may traditionally see as a hacker, right?
Sure.
The hackers that I know look like regular people walking up and down the street, right? Not the traditional hoodie, white male that, has been brought up in tech because their parents could afford a computer. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm not knocking that at all, but things have changed quite a bit, and I've seen it, I've witnessed it, I've been a part of it, and I'm doing what I can to try to change those numbers and change those perceptions as best I could, as best I can.
For sure. So I think it's a diversity on a lot of different fronts, right? That we need to improve in the industry. And so what can, all right, so I'm looking for that traditional, I'm a company, I'm looking for that traditional, you should fit this cookie cutter mold in my mind so that I can think of you as a hacker. If I'm not that, right? If I'm a person of color, if I'm a female, how do I pitch myself to say, listen, I am just as qualified. I have the skills and the knowledge and the abilities.
And this is my opinion, and I know that some of the larger corporations may not feel that way, but I feel like if you have the skills and the talent, then you deserve to get the job. So the back end of that is finding ways to show you have the talent. And that can come in the form of blog posts, research, podcasts, going to events, going to meetups, being a part of groups, having a Twitter account, like getting your name out there, getting your work out there, right? Because the keyboard doesn't lie. Eventually, you're gonna have to get on that keyboard and show that you have skills. And I feel like the industry has a way of weeding those people out eventually.
There's two pieces that I think, the community piece and almost like this portfolio piece, it feels like you're talking about, right?
Yes, most definitely. Having some type of online portfolio, and it doesn't have to be in your name. And I understand discretion, and I understand that some people may want to be private. So it doesn't have to be in your name, and you don't even have to show your face on any of your accounts. There's a lot of individuals out there who we know better by their moniker, right? And not their real name. So
Sure.
you can definitely go that route.
So you seem to have a lot of thoughts about this and a lot of kind of practical things that companies and job seekers can implement. How have you kind of used all of this in your journey to build CoverSix?
I look for, so I admittedly, I'm kind of stubborn, right? And Cover6 is my baby, my thing. So I like to see people that have some type of passion in Cover6, people that believe in the mission of what Cover6 is doing and not necessarily looking for a job. One of my pet peeves is, when they apply for a position, and one, they may not even know who I am when I show up. And I feel like that's not a good way to start, right?
Sure.
So being able to do some research on the company before is always helpful.
And then on the training side of the company, what sort of skills can students go through it? What sort of students, first of all, are coming into the program? And what are they learning? What are they leaving with? Where are they going? Walk me through that journey a little bit.
Sure thing. So my goal in my training has always been to prepare students for work, prepare them for the real world. I keep it real raw in class, right? And I even let them know some of the darker sides of cybersecurity, right? You're going to be analyzing results. You're going to be looking at people's work. There may be times where you come across things in your analysis that no human should see, right? And it may cause some PTSD, right? And you may have to work with someone that you can identify as scum, but because they may be part of an investigation, there's nothing that you can do, right? So I'm always preparing them for the real world. I'm preparing them to be able to be comfortable at a job the minute that they leave class. That's what I'm preparing them for. I'm not saying it's easy. We throw a lot of things at them in a short amount of time, but it's to provide them, a great foundation and give them an idea of what they would be most comfortable with and what they would be most uncomfortable with, so they know what their focuses should be and shouldn't be. We don't necessarily train to pass a specific certification. However, we have started weaving the exam objectives for certain certifications into our training, right? Like if you want to prepare for a cert, there's classes out there that specifically focus on that, right? I prepare my students for roles, separate roles, right? And I want them to be multifunctional. I want them to have a multitude of skills so they can possibly get someone else fired because they would be more valuable. And I know that that might sound bad, but that's truly what I want. I want them to be very, very valuable.
And who are these students who are coming in? Do they have technical experience prior a lot of times?
Yes. We pose that question in all of our classes, like how much experience do you have? What were you looking to get out of this class? Like, what are you doing right now? So we offer an intro, and they're all virtual now because of what's going on in the world, but we offer an intro to cyber class, a workshop, we offer a pen tester prep, we offer our SOC analyst prep, which is really, really popular. We're even doing our second summer cyber camp for high schoolers and young co and early college enrollees. And we're actually about to announce a week-long hack and defend, not hack and defend, but an attack and defend course. So we have gotten students that have been in IT for 20 plus years. We've gotten students that have zero experience, and then being with us, going through our program, going through our classes, they're getting SOC analyst jobs, right? They're getting pen tester prep jobs. And because of the training, right, they are, stepping into those roles on day one, instead of just knowing how to pass a multiple choice exam. And I love it to see that growth in just a matter of 2 days. It's amazing. It touches my heart every single time. And I just can't step away. The people always bring me back,
I definitely relate to that, having been on the education side of things. If there's someone looking to get into the field of security, SOC analyst, pretty entry level junior role in some cases, what's a resource you would recommend? Where can they get started?
That is a great question. And that has always been something I've wanted to address for the longest time, because one of the questions or statements that I hear all the time in the meetups is, how do I get hands-on cybersecurity experience? Because the hands-on experience is what the hiring managers and owners are looking for now without having a job, right? It's like saying, I can't get a job because I don't have hands-on experience. Can't get hands-on experience because I don't have a job.
Vicious cycle. Yeah.
Right. So I actually wrote an article and created a presentation to help with that. That article is How to Get Hands-on Cybersecurity Experience with Security Onion. And Security Onion is a tool totally free that if you have a laptop, what you can do is download and install Security Onion. And what this tool does is it provides network monitoring on your network. So you're doing network monitoring right now. It has a built-in intrusion detection system that you can edit the alerts with and fine-tune the alerts. That will teach you some incident handling and some incident response. It also has built-in network traffic of some of the most malicious types of malware of the last 5 years. So you can see what that malicious traffic looks like, analyze that traffic all for fun. And it has different PCAP files that you can analyze. And it's, to me, it's just an amazing tool. I can't believe that it's free. And you can literally, just like with anything else in tech, you can literally teach yourself a specific role for free. And you can turn your home into its own little security operations center with just this one tool.
Super useful, Tyrone. This was a lot of fun. Quickly, before you go, last piece of advice for folks who are thinking that maybe security is a career for them, maybe it's not. I don't know. They're on the fence. What do you have to, what do you, what would you like to say to them?
You know what? I actually wrote an article to address that as well.
I no surprise.
It's called Identifying Your Dream Job. And I feel like you should ask yourself three questions. And that is, what do you love doing? What are you good at? And what does the world need? If you love it, your passion for it will shine through. If you're good at it, it will come easy to you. And if it's what the world needs, then there'll be demand for it. And that may not be cybersecurity. Cybersecurity may not be for you. And that's understandable. I feel like a combination of those three things should be your dream job, and just go and do that, right? And I feel like I found my dream job. So to address that, just know that it may not be easy, right? But you can be whatever you want in this industry. Just a little bit of focus. Well, a lot of focus, some hard work, and you can achieve anything.
That is perfect. I love it. Lastly, I know I said lastly last time, but this is really lastly now.
Totally fine, no worries.
There's people listening and they're like, Tyrone sounds awesome. I want to talk to him. Where can they find you?
Ty Wilson 21 probably be the best spot on Twitter. My direct messages are always open. I'm always willing to help. You can also connect with me on LinkedIn, Tyrone E. Wilson. I use my middle initial for just about everything. There's a really great story as to why I do that. So I did not grow up with my biological siblings, and for the longest time, I didn't even know that I even had biological siblings. So one of the ways that I felt would separate me from all of the other Tyrone Wilsons out there was to use my middle initial, and hopefully that they would know that that's what my middle initial was. Well, through my skills that I learned and how to do some passive reconnaissance, I actually found my biological father. I actually found four siblings as well, through some reconnaissance on Facebook, believe it or not. And having the middle initial is what helped me out. I actually, I'm willing to make myself vulnerable for other people. So I documented that journey of meeting my siblings on Facebook Live. And if they want to use some passive recon, you'll be able to find that on Twitter as well. So at TyWilson21 on Twitter or Tyrone E. Wilson on LinkedIn, I'm always open to connect with anyone that needs any type of assistance.
Fantastic. Thank you for sharing that story. It's so cool to see when professional skills can help out like our personal lives, right?
Indeed.
Terrence, this was a lot of fun. Thank you for taking the time, and I'm looking forward to chatting with you more.
Sure thing. I'll do it anytime. Let me know.
Hey, thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed this. If you're looking for some of the resources we mentioned on the show, you can find them on our website at accesscyber.org. And as always, happy hacking. Talk to you soon, friends.